Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
If you're familiar with the program at all and with the channel at all, first of all, hi, how you doing? Welcome back to the Build Up. Ryan Fonseca's here. This feels a lot like, it's been feeling a lot like 2017, 2018 lately, because it's just me and you on like every show, Dex.
It does feel like that. It does feel like 2017 lately. Despite some other things being worse, that felt like 2017. You could understand what I'm talking
about. There it is. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, we have a little more freedom here. joining me, Dexter Henry, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about, obviously, Luka Doncic. We could talk about tariffs all day if you'd like, but we're going to talk about Luka Doncic's return to Dallas, which was predictable in hindsight from the standpoint of many things. Dexter Henry, by the way, you can follow his work, New York Post Sports, anchor, host, reporter, journalist, jack of all, has always been the case for as long as I've known him. Dexter, Luka Doncic, who, so when we were doing Ain't Hard to Tell, we were very high on from the jump.
I try to tell y'all. I was on that Luka train.
When he was in Spain.
Before he came to the NBA, I tried to tell y'all I was angry when he wasn't the number one pick because I tried to tell you guys. But so nothing. Listen, I'll keep it. Luka is my favorite player to watch still in the NBA. I'm a huge Luka fan. Okay. Huge Luka fan.
That answers one of my questions.
So I've been on it. Like I said, before the first time I saw Luka play, I was like, oh, yeah, this kid is the truth, man. And Luka showed tonight why you're right. It's predictable, Brian. This was predictable. Like, you knew he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You knew he was going to kill him. The only thing that could have made this better, there's only one thing that could have made it better. I wish Nico Harrison had the balls to be courtside.
Yeah, was he there?
Hell no.
I don't recall seeing him on camera. I watched the entire game. I don't recall seeing him on camera.
That man watched that game from home, as he should.
Yeah, like, I got up to piss, like, twice. But still, like, I saw
nothing would have been good if he was there. Now, for my entertainment, our entertainment would have been dope if he was there. But nah, man, he was gonna be hiding because Luka would have stared at him every shot that he made, and he made 16 of 28 tonight. People,
he would have had more than 45. Luka Doncic had 45 points. He shot 16 of 28. He made 7 of 10 from three. Ridiculous, you know, just the step back contested Luka Doncic threes that he makes when he's on. 6 of 9 from the free throw line, but it started with the tribute, which I thought was really tastefully done on Dallas's part. So they got something right in the midst of all this.
I guess
Luka Doncic got emotional, welled up or whatever, and it was a great scene. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, he's gonna fucking give it to these guys.
Yeah. What I will say about the tribute is, I mean, you know. sometimes we do too much of tribute videos and we give it to people that don't deserve tribute videos. But this was a good tribute video. And you're right, Brian. Dallas had to get something right because they basically fucked everything else up around this around this trade. Like, I mean, we don't have to get into that deep into that. But I thought to see the emotion from Luka was actually dope, man. Because I think sometimes people think that these things don't matter to these athletes. And the athletes that work very hard at a high level. And listen, when you get traded to the place that drafted you and you ascended to NBA superstardom and then you have to uproot your whole life and move, that's hard. Now, I know some of you are going to be in the chat, oh, he makes millions of dollars. If you have a life change abruptly, that is hard. I don't care how much money you have. It doesn't change any of that. It doesn't make it less hard. It doesn't mean that we can't understand that. So for me to see that emotion come out was like, man, you saw what it meant for him to play for the Mavericks. And, you know, he talked. Luka's been open about it. He said it hurt. So the hurt came out. I think it probably was, you know, it's like when you go through something that you where you hurt and you let it out, it's freeing for you. And so to see that on a personal level for him and how freeing it was kind of good he got that out, because then he could probably go out and just play basketball and kill him. Because I'm not sure if he didn't let it out, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's off his game. Too much is in his head. That kind of stuff. The thing about me, Brian, I don't know how you felt about this. I'm really curious. He goes 16 for 28. He has a 45 piece, the 7 of 10 from downtown, the 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals also as well too in this. Yo, I felt like he was just on cruise control. I felt like he didn't even go that hard. I felt like he could have killed him more. That's tough.
Yeah, it felt like he was just making shots. You know, like it wasn't the way it felt when – and they actually show this pregame where he was talking like entirely reckless to the Minnesota bench and Rudy Gobert hitting shot after shot. You know, like it wasn't that. I think we'll get that in the playoffs because he's one of those dudes. He has demonstrated that. He's been a big game performer since he was a teenager. If you watched Eurobasket in 2017, like the dude was all Eurobasket, like the first team for it. I think it was just one team for it. And he was a teenager. You know, he's ridiculously talented. Like, I agree. I don't think it didn't feel that. I mean, he took a lot of shots, but I don't feel like it felt that forced to me. No. And it did also feel like, and at the same time, the Lakers were like, yeah, we want you to go off. So, like, please, like, do what you have to do. Like, I saw a lot of deferring to Luka, even though, like, LeBron still got his 27. Austin Reeves, I felt like, was deferring a lot. And, you know, he didn't get up a ton of shots. But, I mean, it was an important win also from the standing standpoint because they're third. They're locked in at third right now. I mean, they haven't clinched third, but they're right there at this point. One win away and they can get it. It was just, I thought it was just like a great, like all around, just a great show. Unfortunately for Dallas, like, I don't know how you could still be a Mavs fan is where I'm at with this too, Dex. Like if I were a Mavs fan and you take Luka Doncic from me and send him to, of all teams, that team, I'm packing it in. Like I can't, but I'm not that loyal sort of fan in that way, admittedly.
I mean, with that being said, I'm so intrigued to see what the fallout is from this in the following years. Here's two things I'll mention. If Luka ever faces his team in a playoff series, he is going to murder them. You think tonight was a murder? You think tonight was a murder? Man, you better call in all the detectives, man, because there's going to be bodies everywhere. Yeah. And I think that if you're a Mavs... It's a good point. Now I'm laughing at saying it. Are there really any Mavs fans? Like, are there Mavs fans or are there former Mavs fans who now either said they're going to be Laker fans or they just said, hey, we're rooting for Luka wherever he's going to be and we're just Luka fans?
I think there are Mavs fans who are just not happy. Because one of the things I did on that night, of the many things I did that night when trying to digest this trade, was immediately hit Reddit. I was like, I need to see what the streets are saying. And Reddit is the new streets, taking the title from Twitter. Twitter used to be the streets, and I feel like Reddit really is the streets because everyone's anonymous there. So I went in just to see like what everybody, what the temperature was. And yeah, they're pissed off. And there are a lot of fans in the heat of the moment saying, yeah, they're done with this team, turning in their fan cards, so on and so forth. In this particular case, one, I believed some of them, not all of them will, but I believe some of them. And two, you find me a better reason to decide to part ways with a franchise.
the only other reason to part ways with a franchise, historically speaking, has been if the franchise left your city without a chance to be done, right? Like if you are a Seattle Sonics fan, you might not rock with the Thunder, right? Because you just was like, yo.
I don't think you should, honestly.
Nah, you'll wait for the Sonics to come back, which hopefully they will. And you're probably not rocking with them. So maybe, you know, historically there's some Brooklyn Dodgers fans that were like, yo, I'm never rocking with the Dodgers in LA because they left Brooklyn and they became generally Mets fans or Giants fans when before they went to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That happened. That there really isn't a better reason. It's when you trade a franchise player in his prime, Brian, pretty good reason to not root for the team anymore. But here's the thing. And I plead this to Mavs fans. If you still consider yourself a Mavs fan, tonight, you pack the building. The crowds have not been great at American Airlines Arena lately, right? Since, you know, Kyrie went down, it's been kind of a wrap, right? And they're probably getting bounced in the playing tournament. You want to send a message? Y'all can't keep coming, showing up there and saying, fire Nico.
Right. Just don't
show up. Yes. If you truly don't like what the team did, don't show up. Don't put the money in Mario Adelson's pocket. And don't do that. Don't show up. Because that will be the biggest thing for me. Even if you still say you want to root, you love your Mavericks, you're from Dallas, you're Dallas pride, you don't got to show up, though. You don't got to give them your money.
Honestly, and don't even, like, stage a protest outside the arena, which they've already done. Like just don't show up. Like, don't even say, you don't even have to say anything. Like, that's going to speak enough volumes. We would talk about this all the time where it's like, all right, if you, like, all the things you want to get done from a social perspective can be done if you have enough manpower, woman power to do it. Like if you really wanted to make change at your place of work, for example, all of y'all could just not show up. Then it's like, all right, what are the people in charge going to actually do?
Yeah. Right? The problem is
it's called a strike.
Yeah. It's really called a strike. The problem is, in certain spaces, particularly around sports, which is weird, especially now with social media, we have all this connectivity, but you would think like, damn, I get, if you Mavs fans could organize a protest, which we saw you do when you got outside and you had the casket and all the stuff, you know what else you could organize? Not buying season tickets. But the way I think sports,
I wonder what those numbers are for next year, by the way, because they're already on sale. They're probably not doing well.
I hope not, but the way sports is, people, I know, particularly in New York, you see this too. It's like people feel like they're missing out if they're not at one of these events. And tickets sometimes are so, and depending on what market you're in, it's so hard to come by. Mm-hmm. So people want the experience. I want to go to an NBA game. And it's like, nah, man. Like, you want to send a message to the ownership about how displeased you are? That's it. I'll tell you something. And here's the thing. This is not me speaking out of my ass. When teams I've rooted for have not done what they're supposed to do in terms of putting a good product on the floor,
same,
I don't give them my money at all. And I will never give them their money. Here's the thing. I will understand if you are rebuilding, that's different. If a team is torn down, they went through a run. But if they're out here putting trash on the floor, like I've seen
with no plan,
you're not getting my money.
Right.
This right here, malpractice. Trading Luka Doncic, malpractice. There's no way around it. It's terrible, and the fans shouldn't show up.
The crazy thing is, the team is not that bad if they're healthy. They could not get healthy after they made this trade. Even while they made it, they were dinged up. And it's like, you look at the trade itself, it's not a good trade. But the team itself, after the trade, it's like, you could kind of, even in this Western Conference, you could kind of be competitive. But then, yeah, Anthony Davis gets hurt right away. PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford missed time. Derek Lively was out. And Kyrie Irving ends up just tearing his ACL, the worst possible injury for a smaller guard. He's not like super small, but you know, 6'2", 6'3". and at this later stage of his career. And now it's like, what really is the future? Like, he's going to be out for a lot of next season, if not all of it. And Anthony Davis isn't getting any younger. And now you're just in a perilous position where, like, what is actually the plan?
And just Anthony Davis should be the plan.
Right. And like, this, you and I have had these experiences where, like, okay, we're both former Jet fans, actually, both of us. You held on for longer than I did. I was done once it was determined that Geno Smith was not going to be the guy, and then he tore his ACL and it was Ryan Fitzpatrick season. I was like, all right, peace. I'm just never going to get a quarterback. Like, they still haven't had one, by the way, in the 10 years since or so, they still haven't had a real one. Ricky, we'll get to your comment. Thank you for that. And for people watching, because I do see people watching, don't be scared of the comment section. We always throw comments up here when we get them. And this won't be a long show. We also have had experiences with the Mets that are like less than desirable. But I feel like even throughout the course of my life, while they haven't been wildly successful, there's been enough peaks. There's been enough winning. Like every 5 years or so, they have like a great team. So it's kind of like you always feel like, hey, if the farm system is not popping off, then the team is. If the team isn't, then the farm system. Like the Mets always seem to sort of like just every few years, it's like, okay, there's a run. And this one hopefully is more sustainable. With the Mavericks, they were good for a long time with Dirk Nowitzki. And they've been good for a while with Luka Doncic. There was a down year recently, but in between that, you have a conference finals and a finals. And not to relitigate the trade, but like my whole thing is, I don't know how you could remain a Mavs fan unless you're like a tried and true Texan and you just, you know, don't want to give it up, then I guess. But I mean, you could root for SMU. You know, you could root for, you know, the Houston Cougars, maybe. Probably not Houston if you're from Dallas. But
Dallas
still.
Is not. Dallas ain't room for Houston.
Yeah, they ain't doing it. Yeah. They're not doing that. That's fair.
I just think I'm not even mad at people who want to stay a Mavs fan. I just think you should demand better for your team. Listen, and we know this. We grew up as Mets fans. Look, for a long time, people wanted the Wilpons out of there. There was a lot of people calling for it. It took a long time to happen. I mean, basically, it took them having to get caught up in some embezzlement schemes for that to happen. Like
the problem, though, Dex, the problem is they just got new ownership.
And that's my point.
And their new ownership.
Your point. You're talking about Dallas.
Dallas just got new ownership.
Yeah.
I think Mark Cuban, who's saying he wasn't involved with this, is partially to blame for this because of who he sold this to. Knowing their history and knowing they're probably going to be behind some bullshit. Nico Harrison actually made some good moves at the trade deadline last year. I still feel like the Luka thing.
But see, this is why I don't want to get into too deep into something I did on a show I did with our friend Gerard Hector. Huh. Nico Harrison has made good moves. I don't think he's a dummy, right? Yeah. But he's going to get all the vitriol here, and I'm like, is this Nico Harrison? Just think, guys. Is this really Nico Harrison in this? He's the front man. He's taking all the bullets. But is this Nico Harrison? That's all I'm going to say on that. The other thing I'm going to say is, as far as Mark Cuban selling the team, look, man, you're talking about billionaires. And billionaires are going to sell. And Mark Cuban's going to sell to the person who's going to give him the most money. He does not give a damn about their past. He did not give a damn about their political affiliations. If he didn't, he would have sold to Alderson family.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have. Yeah. But I don't trust any of these billionaires to do that. I think in a perfect world, it would have been. Now, part of you might be conflicted because you look at Mark Cuban. He talks about, you know, wanting to help in certain causes. Man, at the end of the day, these billionaires are going to do what puts more money in their pockets. And I think that's a lot of what we saw here. I do not, if I was a Mavs fan, all I will say is I wouldn't trust that ownership. Based on other things that ownership is involved in, I do not think that they are for the people. And when they're not for the people, they damn sure ain't going to be for you as a sports fan.
Yeah.
They're not going to be for you as a sports fan. And the worst thing you could do that is only going to help fuel them not giving a fuck about the people is coming into that building and giving them more money on top of more money at over and over. right? Yeah. Like Ricky Beers, I see you in the chat. Ricky's kind of with me on this. I'm with you, Ricky.
So the first comment Ricky leaves, thank you, Ricky. And if anybody else is watching, feel free to chime in. Ricky Beers says, you mean to tell me Kyrie and AD couldn't stay healthy for more than a game? And then says the whole situation, just this is what you were just talking about, Dex. The whole situation just really doesn't add up at face value. There's got to be more to the story that we haven't heard. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Dex, I know you do too. The only thing we've heard so far is the Mavs spin. And then Ricky chimes in again. There are rumors Luka wasn't a fan of ownership and Kidd.
I mean, that the Kidd part, I don't think that part of the rumors. I don't know.
That's
a little shocking to me.
I don't think Jason Kidd was like, yo, get rid of him. You know, and even if he was, I'm not even sure ownership. Like, I think ownership's going to do what ownership wants to do. I don't think this new ownership is taking their cues from Nico Harrison, Jason Kidd, or whatever the case may be. It kind of felt like Nico just fell on the sword the entire time. We don't know that, but at the same time, who is incentivized right now to report that side of it? You know what I mean? So. I don't know. I think with Luka Doncic, though, to sort of bring this back to him, the performance he had tonight is kind of indicative of where Dallas is since this trade. Also, I kind of feel bad for Anthony Davis as being caught in the crosshairs of all this. And I just think if you're a Mavs fan, it's just tough right now. You know, hold your head, seriously, because I think sports fandom is...
Hold your wallet. How about that?
Hold your head, yes, but also hold your wallet. Like, if you really are pissed off at this team, you don't have to go to the games. You don't have to buy merch. Like, you could watch from home.
And don't even do that. Don't give them no ratings.
You could do it, you know, through special services.
Yeah, go that way.
VPN,
you
know?
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, I would mess up their money as much as you could until they got the point. That's the power you have as a fan.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
You don't have to go to the games. I'm not saying you don't have to root. I won't criticize any Mavs fan that's like, I want to stay. I will not do that. That sure. I will not do. But if you're really mad, you don't have to give the money. Because what's not going to work is you go into the game every time and chanting, fire Nico. They're not going to fire him. I mean, well, they will at some point. But they're not going to fire him because y'all said so, is all I'm saying. That's not going to happen. At some point, they will say he'll do it. Again, I'm with Ricky on this. Nico Harrison, I don't think is a dummy. I think he's made very smart moves as a GM for the most part. This doesn't seem to add up. And all of a sudden, he decided to trade Luka Doncic. And no, he talked to no other suitors except for Rob Pelinka. And nobody also consulted LeBron James on it. Yeah, okay. I got a bridge in Brooklyn right here to sell y'all. Okay, I don't believe that. I think more of this comes out later. Here to your point, you said something, Brian, that I found interesting. You said nobody is incentivized to actually report something that isn't, as Ricky just put, Mav spin. That was what Ricky said. And I think
the people who are probably haven't reported anything on this yet. Like, it would be an investigative journalist
yeah,
from but, an right. outlet that doesn't typically cover sports.
I agree with you. That would have to happen.
The New York Times or
I agree.
Like and maybe, Dallas Morning News or something.
And I
like
hope that somebody from one of these outlets is actually working on this. I really do. I hope so, because, you know, as obviously as a journalist and a fan of journalism, this is something yes. I want to see. It's going to, I think you're right. It's going to take that caliber of journalist from that kind of outlet to get this done. This ain't coming from ESPN, likely, unless they get Baxter Holmes on this, who does a great job investigating.
I feel like if Tim McMahon knew, he'd report it right now.
I think he would. I don't think they're going to feed him that.
Yeah. And there's a chance we're
that's also, no shade to Tim McMahon,
right? Who I think is great. And there's a chance we're also wrong, and this is Nico's call, and haha, whatever. But you know, that would surprise me. But we're just going off that. Ricky, we'll get into your comments, and then we'll just wrap on the Western Conference real quick. Ricky says, "What was it? I'll say this and only this." Jeannie and Bill Duffy have been friends since they were in high school. It's a business. Yes. Yeah, see, I like when people connect the dots. You know what I mean? Like they kind of follow us down the trail.
Yeah, but to Ricky's point, if they went if you believe there's more to the story, right, and you believe they kept the trade talks insulated as possible, then that's part of what makes sense, right? Because two things can be true. They could have kept the stuff insulated because they know how crazy it is when Luka Doncic rumors got out. That doesn't mean it's the best thing to do for business or to get the most value cut out of a trade. But if you are going to keep it insulated, Ricky, if this is what you're insinuating and that all the ties matter, whether it's that Nico and Rob Pelinka have a relationship, Bill Duffy and Jeannie have a relationship, right? Like that's the little things do matter in trying to keep the stuff in-house, right, among certain people. If you're doing this trade and this was driven by ownership, there is absolutely incentive to keep it on the low. If you legitimately thought Luka Doncic wasn't giving effort, out of shape, even though I think all that stuff, you could have got his ass in shape, even if that's the case, then you would want to have the broadest market you could have for a 25-year-old future Hall of Famer. From a business standpoint, if you believe in the latter, how they went about it doesn't make sense at all whatsoever. If you believe in the former, what we're saying with is more to the story, keeping it insulated. If it's ownership driven, then it makes sense to keep it insulated. That's all I'll say to that. So.
Okay. What do you think of the playoff piece of this and the fact that the Lakers are probably locked in the top three, though we don't know who they're going to face yet. But I mean, they look like a legitimate contender. At least a team that can get to the conference semifinals or conference finals, rather.
What do I think about it? God, the Lakers are lucky. They always find their next right. Like it's a couple things. I think that, and I think the other thing I think about the Lakers season when you look at it, I still have questions about this team's defense. I think they played good defense for a good 3-week stretch. I'm not sure they're as high. Their ceiling is literally that defensively. But I'll tell you what I do take out of the season with the Lakers. They got lucky as hell to get Luka Doncic. But I will say, I do think J.J. Redick's a good coach, man. I think J.J. Redick knows what he's doing. I think he's gotten the most out of some of these role players. I think you've seen an elevation in Austin Reeves' game. Austin Reeves has also benefited from playing alongside Luka Doncic. I think LeBron James deserves a lot of credit here for being understanding where he is in the time of his career, sort of seeding some of those on-ball responsibilities, Luka Doncic.
I think he wanted to do that.
I think he did. I just think he needed a partner that he could trust.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he got this in Luka Doncic. He's like, oh, game recognized game. I kind of see you here. And I trust you to do this because you're an elitist passer as I am. And I think this is going to help LeBron specifically at the end of his career. I think this is as fresh as he's looked at the end of a season, probably in the last 2 to 3 years. Ricky Beer says the Lakers have a puncher's chance now. I mean, yeah, I agree, but I think if you would have never thought that pre-trade, I think they do. I still have some concerns about their defense, and I know people will get onto the like.
I do too.
They beat down OKC the other day. I thought they shot lights out in that game. I don't know how much of that was, you know, you're going to get some games like that where you just shoot lights out in the NBA. But the Lakers, sure, interesting. And you got Luka and LeBron. You can get a little Luka magic through the playoffs. It's not that bad.
Can I just say that, and I wanted to bring this up, the game against the Lakers Or the game between the Lakers and the Thunder.
The one that they won
in particular. I did have a thought, like, all right, I don't think they're winning that series against OKC because I think OKC is too good, too deep, yada, yada, yada. Defensively, I think with Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein, like, you'll be able to figure things out. But we have had this concern about OKC and their shooting in terms of the consistent shooting. Like, we've seen them just sort of not be able to hit enough shots against Dallas in that series last year. And then the NBA Cup to another extent against Milwaukee, it's another big spot. And this is sort of one of the things that people around the NBA that I've spoken to, and I'm sure that you've spoken to, that they're concerned about, or they're watching the closest in the playoffs, is how I should word it, is the secondary offense, meaning Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, mostly Jalen Williams, because I think if they do flop in the playoffs, this being OKC, and flop meaning they lose in basically the second round and they're not hitting enough shots, that being the reason why, like, the offense is just not there besides Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, then you're probably going to be like, all right, are we going to get Kevin Durant now? You know, are we going to have to look around at this point with all this draft capital and try to use, like, the flexibility that they have from a contractual team building standpoint to go out and get somebody? So I wonder, it made me wonder that, because I do think the Lakers shooting and creativity could pose a problem. The thing is, it'll be hard to sustain, but, like, if they're just able to hit shots, like, if in that series, if they play each other, let's just say we get Lakers Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, which, you know, could happen. What if the Lakers just shoot 38% from three that series in Oklahoma City is at like 29%? Like, that's not something that's that crazy. The rebounding numbers are not going to favor the Lakers, I don't think. But the three-point shooting, like, we saw this with Knicks Celtics yesterday, where the Knicks got 14 more rebounds or whatever it was, and they were killing Boston on the offensive glass. But Boston ended up making 15 of their last 25 threes, and ultimately the three-point shooting came around after a 6-for-24 start, and Boston ended up winning anyway.
Yeah. I wonder how that is. It's really, I think, the moment of, like, OKC getting punched in the mouth in the playoffs could be if the shot's not falling, they find themselves down 2-1 in the series against a team that maybe you thought they should beat, whether it's the Lakers or not. OKC's really good defensively, and people are going to go with, you know, the fact they had, you know, what is it, the best net rating in history heading to the playoffs. You know, that's like when people talk about, you know, they used to do it for a bunch of years. Oh, this team was the best offensive rating in history coming to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then that team usually gets smacked because the game is so much different and slows down and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, I think, because of their style with Doncic and LeBron and the way the guys around them are shooting, they could slow it down and make ugly. And you could see guys like, you know, Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt, Dorian Finney-Smith getting hot, hitting some threes. There's some proven guys here on this team. And when you're a team like OKC, you kind of know what you are at a point, and you haven't been making shots. If you're not making shots, is what you're saying, Brian, that stuff might get into your head. And then it's like, oh, shit. Well, what do we do when we're not making shots? And the biggest question is, okay, you know what SGA is a bucket, and he's going to win the MVP. We know he's a bucket. But who's your secondary shot creator? And it should be Jalen Williams. And we've seen it at times this year, even in some games without SGA. But we haven't seen him do it in the playoffs yet. He's got the biggest question mark in him for that team. There's a couple of guys with question marks on that team. That the problem with the OKC is they're still very young, and we don't know if they've grown up yet. This is a big playoffs for them, and we kind of have to see it. We saw the growing pains last year against Dallas. This year, what it's about is, what if they learn from that? But a team like the Lakers, to your point, could test them on that for sure.
I think a lot of people are going to want to pick against Oklahoma City and Houston, the top two seeds in the West, because of their youth, because of their collective playoff inexperience / lack of experience, because, you know, Shai's been in the playoffs obviously multiple times, but a lot of the guys who we're going to see just haven't been there a long time. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the Lakers, you obviously have Luka, who's had many playoff series to this point. LeBron, who's been in the playoffs damn near every year of his career mm-hmm. and has had many deep playoff runs. Oh, Dorian Finney-Smith, who went with Luka Doncic to the conference finals. And he's been in the playoffs as well. And then when you look at like Austin Reeves, like this is somebody who LeBron James was deferring to in big spots in the playoffs when they went on that run to the Western Conference Finals against the Denver Nuggets a couple years ago. And this is before Austin Reeves became what he is now, which is what I think is somebody who's going to really flirt with the All-Star game over the next couple seasons here. Like, I think he might break through and get one. Like, he's legitimate. I mean, think when, if LeBron retires after next season, then I think we could be looking at Austin Reeves take a real, like, another little bump there, assuming that they keep him, and I think that they should. It's going to all come down to matchups for me in the Western Conference, and it's just too early to tell. Like, we know Oklahoma City's first. We know Houston is second. But from there, it's like the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Warriors, Grizzlies, Timberwolves all have between 31 and 33 losses. Mm-hmm. And I just don't – I don't know. Like, with Denver, there's a lot of uncertainty now because that team just looks like a team that's ready to lose in the first round. Which is going to suck for the Nikola Jokic discourse as somebody who thinks the world of him. But a lot of people are going to try to use this as an opportunity to shit on him if they lose early in the playoffs. Golden State looks stupid. But yeah, okay. I agree. Golden State looks really interesting now with Jimmy Butler. I have questions about their size too, in a way that I have questions about the Lakers' size, but I feel better about them defensively because of Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. With Memphis, I don't see it this year.
They're the team out of this group I don't trust. They're the team from 3 to 8 I don't trust right now. There's just too much going on. I think their firing of their coach, there's more going on there that makes me concerned in Denver. Denver, I think that stuff was at the top. I'm not sure that stuff is in the team. And there's a way where I could see Denver uniting through this in a way I don't see Memphis doing. The team, I'll tell you.
Because of Jokic, honestly.
Because of Jokic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't think Jokic is going to be happy about this Malone firing. Here's the key with Denver. The key with Denver is Jamal Murray. He's got to be healthy. I think it's more that. He's got to be healthy.
Yeah, and Michael Porter Jr. from night to night. Like, I've never trusted his consistency. So
he started off the season really good. He did. And then it's you know, he's kind of been meh. You know, I'll tell you the two teams I trust the most in that group. You mentioned the Warriors because I think we've seen enough of a sample size. They do have some questions with their size, but I think
they have pedigree and they added somebody with a lot of pedigree too.
And the other team where I'm like, yo, man, this team has been kind of under the radar all year.
I
love their coach.
It's the Clippers.
It's health. It's the Clippers.
Yeah.
And when do you ever say you believe in the Clippers?
I'm still scared to because of James Harden.
But I like the makeup of their team. I think Ivaka Zubac should be getting more the nods for most improved player.
Sure.
I think he's been tremendous. Mm-hmm. Harden's been really good this season. Kawhi started looking more like himself. They are top five defense. They can defend.
Norman Powell, when he plays, could have been an all-star this year.
They're primed to me to be a team that can get, like, you play them, you're like, man, that's a problem. Like, they could be a problem for OKC. People ain't talking enough about that.
Defensively, yes.
They can be a pest for them too.
If Kawhi Leonard can still do the thing, basically, like, that's a lot of it. And if James Harden, if James Harden just doesn't kill you in a playoff series, you know, like he had moments last year, and then by the end of the series, it was back to James Harden. I don't feel like he's going to kill them this year just because I think the team around them like is good enough. You have four dudes who have been really good this year. Kawhi Leonard went healthy. James Harden, as you mentioned, although the shooting hasn't been awesome, but as a distributor, I feel like he's made up for it. Zubats, who, I mean, he's had a really like awesome, awesome, awesome season. And Norman Powell, when he's healthy, you know, and then they made the sneaky ad for like Bogdan Bogdanovic,
Chris Dunn's been good for them.
He's turned the season around. Chris Dunn, they have a defensive identity that I can get behind. And I like Tyronn Lue. You know, I like Ty Lue as a coach. I like him I think he's one of the best coaches here for sure.
Yeah, I think they've been under the radar. My worries in that group is definitely Grizzlies 1, Denver 2, because I think it's a legit concern. Mm-hmm. I think Denver is a better chance of turning it around and putting it together than the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, I just, something's off with the Grizzlies, man.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. Something's off with them. I know they're in the seventh spot right now. They would host Minnesota in the first round of the, I mean, a game.
I don't trust them in that. Minnesota's been playing better.
I would pick Minnesota in that one.
Yeah. The collapse against Milwaukee aside, because that was inexcusable. As somebody who had Minnesota minus 3.5, I was pretty annoyed that they squandered that in the fourth quarter after having a, like, not even a double digit lead, like a 20 point lead or whatever.
This is what I'll say. I know we got to wrap.
Yeah.
From, you look at this from three, you know, Lakers now to seven. Eight with Minnesota, but from three to seven, it's a game and a half separating these teams, guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 2.5 if you go down to eight. For people who were anti the play-in tournament, this is why I love the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
I like having stakes at the end of the season. I like playing for something. I like that all eight spots are not just guaranteed, because it's funny, because even if there was no play-in tournament, the races for 7-8 would still be fascinating. And really, 3-8 would still be fascinating.
I think the play-in tournament makes it better, though.
But it makes it better because there's more stakes. You want that top six. You don't want to have to be playing games next week. I like there's an advantage for the teams that the top six teams get to rest and not have to play any games for 5 to 6 days. I think that's good. So I like this. You know, we know that Sacramento, they're locked into a play-in berth. They can't get out of it. The Mavericks, I guess there's still a chance the Suns could make it, but it's not going to happen. That Kings Mavericks game. Listen, all these playing games ain't going to be good. I just want to be honest. They're not.
The Eastern Conference. I do think there's
a chance Orlando and Atlanta can be decent.
Sure.
A decent watch.
If Orlando can score 100 points. I love watching Orlando on defense. Jalen Suggs is out, but you know, so
right.
But also relevant to that, Chicago beat Miami. So Miami's at 10 right now. Chicago, I think, has a tiebreaker with that win.
They do, so, and Chicago's only half a game behind Atlanta for 8.
Yeah.
So some things to watch there. If you're excited about the Eastern Conference playing teams,
Fans that I know. I would say more of them probably want them to lose and get a better draft pick. This is the draft to do that. So
understood.
Yeah, that's the Western Conference and I guess the Eastern Conference play. And we'll have more on the channel coming up, a lot more playoff previews, things of that nature. Might do something on the WNBA draft Monday. Might. We'll see what happens. Are you going to the draft, by the way, Dex?
The plan is for me to go. Yes, I will be there.
I could, but like I feel like I would get more out of doing a show here than I would.
I got credentials, so I will be there for at least a little bit, at least for the start of it. So I will be there.
Yeah, drafts aren't very fun in person. For people who've never covered one.
Yeah, they're okay. They're okay. I will say that. They're okay.
Yeah,
done several. Okay,
but I think the draft itself is going to be interesting regarding like the play. Like, this is a very, very talented WNBA draft class. Very, very talented. I know a lot of people are talking about Paige Beckers, but Dominique Malonga. Oh my goodness,
who I'm a fan of.
I cannot wait for people to see
next
her
who haven't seen her. Next year is going to be crazy too. That's
I'm probably going to place a bet on her for Rookie of the Year. She's raw, so I don't know if like. Paige would be the odds-on favorite, but Paige would be so much of a favorite where I'm like, I might look at Dominique.
Is she projected to go second to LA?
She better be. She freaking better be.
Yeah.
Whew. If they have her and Cameron Brink with Kelsey Plum, the team, I don't know if they're going to make it to the playoffs, but only 8 teams make it, so somebody's got to go.
I mean, they're going to be young and raw. I don't know how good they'll be defensively, but they'll be all right. Yeah. Tia Jackson, they'll be all right.
So we have some stuff coming on the channel. And if you missed it, boxing people, Boots Ennis, Jerron Ennis, film study, Imantas Stanionis, two-parter, that's up now. And we will probably, I might do a recap on that because that fight is Saturday. So a lot to come. And we'll keep doing that. Dex, thank you for popping on as always. You will hear Dex and I on the New York Post Sports Channel throughout the playoffs, covering the Knicks run for as long as it lasts. We We think it'll be at least two rounds. Probably only two rounds.
If it ain't two rounds, people are going to be angry.
But we'll see. That is all. Thank you for watching as always. And take care of yourselves.
Peace.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.